Good evening, everybody. The Four Outdoorsman is back in town, except we don't have Four Outdoorsmen tonight. And Brandon still has that calendar between him and me, so I can't see squat.
I got your back.
I'd move it, but I feel like Jim Erickson or Neil would, one of those guys would not be happy, probably.
Every time Brandon gives us a signal, he's got to crouch down, you know, and look like a little kid looking through a peephole or something like
gotta
that.
I got to have some job, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah.
I'm the Navy SEALs guy. That, you know, I know all the hand signals. After 6 years, I know what we have 1 minute left is and all that stuff.
Hey, that's Mark Lukey, my buddy Mark Lukey. I'm Steve Strusinski. Brandon's behind the glass. He's our third outdoorsman tonight because our fourth outdoorsman happens often. Sam Oftedal's not here. What's going on, Mark?
Yeah, Sam's off bear hunting. He's been bear hunting since opener pretty much. So he is with a friend, and he's going to call in at 6:20. We're going to talk about bear hunting and how things went with him. I know that they got one bear, so there's some success that happened. So looking forward to talking to him. But yeah, that's why we have so many hosts here, is because we can go do stuff and it's okay.
I guess that's part of the game, isn't it? Yeah, we don't get paid enough to work 52 weeks a year, do we?
We don't. We don't.
But so we have a lot of fun. Yeah, Sam's nice. All excited about it, but I think Sam built himself a monster. We'll talk about that because he's got 40 acres in the metro area here. His parents' in-laws bought 40 next to him, so he's hunting that. Then he's got some land up by McGregor someplace as well, right?
Yeah, up by Morikinda is off 65. I deer hunted there actually last year.
Yeah.
It's a great piece of property. I know that that's where he concentrates most of his bear hunting activities, but yeah, he's a busy man. He's basically been a full-time guide.
You know, and he's got four kids, and they're all, you know, the oldest one is like 5, maybe 5 years old, whatever it is, and all of a sudden he's committed to helping other people bear hunt.
Yeah.
And that's like, man, that's a lot of work and a lot of time. And
yeah.
But he's thinking, uh-oh.
Yeah, he went into it a little bit. It's basically like being a full-time guide. I mean, you're moving stuff around. You're getting people set up. You're moving stands. It's just nonstop, basically entertaining and getting people set up. So it's he'll have to talk about it, but I know that he's been working hard and trying to get people bears.
You know,
he's so generous. He offers a lot of people.
I know it.
Hunts, and so yeah. He barely has time to hunt himself, I think.
And there's an awful lot of activity there, apparently, because he told me, what day is today? Monday? No, Sunday.
Today is Sunday.
Thursday.
Yes, we do
a
show every Sunday.
Yeah, it's every Sunday night, yeah. So Thursday or Friday when we were talking, he said that his bait pile was going down and down. He had to dig into his gummy bear supply at home.
In his truck?
To bait the bear, he said. So to you can tell the difference between which bears have had the gummy bears or the regular stuff on his trail camera. Are we all set, Brandon? We got somebody? Hey, Corey.
You know what?
Corey Bechtold. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Corey, thanks for joining us on the Four Outdoorsmen. Mark was telling me you're going to be on for 4 or 5 minutes because you got something going on at 6:20 or so. But
yeah.
He said you were going to give us a fishing pour. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Corey, thanks for tuning in. I just thought it'd be a good idea to get maybe some tips and what's going on in the lakes right now. Obviously, everything's cooling down, and yeah. I want to try to find some crappies and panfish again. Seems like whenever I get them dialed in, the weather changes and everything moves. So what are you seeing out there?
Fall in general, you know, you get a lot of changes. And, you know, my little page that I have, and I thank you guys for supporting it too, the What's Working Now, is kind of just more of like a live screenshot, if you will, of what the patterns are and what is going on with the fishing reports. And, you know, recently the water temps have been dropping. I have been starting to switch gears and doing a little bit more walleye fishing. I could definitely take up a full show talking about that. But if we want to discuss the crappies, I'm actually going to kind of give you a little blip of something that I've learned, and, you know, I'll always continue learning. Fishing is never, you know, just black and white. There's always a curveball there. I was up in northern Minnesota, and I was kind of struggling for panfish. I can struggle. Everyone struggles.
I find that hard to believe.
You know, yeah, but you know, I was catching fish, you know, just dragging, basically just take a 1/16 ounce jig. I was using Berkley 2-inch twister tails. Any twister tail would be good. There's a lot of good ones out there, but just get the boat going at about 0.7 and just make like a long cast and just go at 0.7 to 1.1 mile per hour and just work over the top of the weeds and the weed edges. What happens is, you know, these fish are buried in the weeds is what I started to learn. I wasn't like hammering them, but I was doing well just trolling over the tops of the weeds. And I ended up going to a different lake, and I was like, man, you know, the first lake I did decent on, but it wasn't fantastic. And I went to a lake that had like really, you know, a lot of special rig, and we were struggling even worse. So I ended up grabbing my underwater camera, and I'm like, I just got to see what's going on down here. It was like 15 feet deep,
weeds came up to within 4 feet of the surface. And I dropped the camera down. I wasn't seeing anything. I started going into the weeds. And from the moment I hit the weeds almost to the bottom, there were so many fish buried in the weeds that it was like, there's no electronics known to man that's really going to tell you what's in there. And then how are you going to, get a bait down into them, present it to them, and actually get them to bite? So, it just is one of those things, like right now we're in a little transition. Water temps are cooling. The weeds are going to start to die off. And what happens, that's why everyone talks about the fall bite being so good, is when these weeds lay down, the fish are exposed. Mm-hmm. They're not going to move too terribly far, and now they're a little easier for us to catch. So that would be kind of like my little tip for you. But what I've been doing is, like, when I finally found them into the weeds, I just hit, like, little pockets. You have to, polarized sunglasses are almost better than electronics. Finding little, stems of weeds, and you know that you're casting next to them. And then I was going to, like, a 1/32nd ounce collarless jig head with, like, a gulp 1-inch minnow. The little fish fry is a good one, too. And just let it fall real slow along the weeds. And then they're just, the fish, since they're buried in the weeds, they just grab it. They're not like hammering it. They wouldn't move a bobber. They were just a little titch in your line is all you would feel, and you'd have a fish on.
That's awesome, Corey. Well, I have to give you credit for two colossal things this summer. One, you introduced me to that 1-inch gulp that I've been using with my sons to panfish all summer. Just killing it. And
yeah.
It's just, you spend so much more time fishing and so much less time rigging worms, and so we've had a great time. Thank you for that. And you taught me how to use an electric knife to clean panfish, which has saved that about half of my weekend because the gulp is working, and now I can clean them in under 2 hours like what it would take me before. So thank you for both of those. Real quick, I know you have to get going here, but how about the walleyes? You said you're hitting the walleyes. Are they still deep, or are they coming up shallow yet?
So it depends on water clarity. There's a lot of factors there as well. But what you start to see is, especially if you can play in the moon phases, and if you have like shallower flats that have less weeds, or even like a good break line that's not weed choked, and you just kind of troll, and again, trolling is good because you're keeping your bait in the water down in the strike zone for a lot longer, and one or two fish will kind of give you the clue that we're here, we're ready to eat. Recently, what I've been doing is I troll about 87 feet line with fire line back behind the line counter and work on after dark, get up on the tops. So I'm fishing in about 8 feet of water is about it, and just keep moving. The Berkeley Frenzy, I think they're called a shallow flicker shad. Rapala has the shallow shad wrap. Those things are a staple too. Those are really good baits. But something that has that dive curve that's going to get you to that depth.
Okay.
And just kind of keep covering water and process fish. I mean, usually, and then here's a tip for you too. If you are trolling or even throwing crankbaits and fire line, since you have no stretch in the line, you do not set the hook. I had two nights ago, I had two 13-year-old kids that wanted to come out and do some night fishing with me. And, the first few fish, I had to tell them, when you feel that, that shake, don't pull. That fish has already come up and he's already eaten it and he's already hooked. Mm-hmm. And once we kind of got over the, we're trolling and moving, the fish is on, I don't think we lost the fish. And we ended up catching probably 12 walleyes. Only three were like the keeper size, like at that 15-inch range. But the kids definitely learned a lot, and they got so even more excited about fishing.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Corey, that would be hard for me to do. Half the fun of fishing is setting that hook, man. And I don't get it. It would really be difficult to change your mode when you have like the fire line
or
it'd be hard for me. I want to set that hook. Hey, let me ask you a question. In the outdoor news today, somebody wrote in from the right into the editor, like letters to the editor, and he has a place on the Whitefish chain. There's 14 lakes in the Whitefish chain, and he said that the DNR is proposing to lowering the keep for sunfish from 20 to 5 on the entire Whitefish chain. He's thinking, there's an awful lot of water up here. Is there any proof that the panfish are being, taken over? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
That is an entire show. We can discuss that because this is kind of my thought. You know what? As sportsmen, it's up to us. It shouldn't be up to the DNR to say this is what you can keep, can't keep. Every lake is going to be different. You know, some lakes are just, you know, they have that shallow water, they have optimum spawning locations, and they can just produce. It's just when, you know, the reason we're kind of focusing on bluegills, the horseshoe chain is the same proposed five fish limit, and then they're asking for people's opinions. Gosh, every fish is different. If we just can be better as anglers, you know, as sportsmen, they go, hey, you know, it's, you know, June, the fish are starting to spawn, they're on bed, and I caught like a 9-inch, you know, male bluegill, that fish has to go back.
Right.
Just, hands down, that it just, people, they have to go back. You know, and that is the key for success in a lake is having big bluegills stay there. So now they're talking about lowering the limits and everything. Well, now you're just throwing everything out of balance. I will agree that, you know, maybe some lowered limits are okay here and there, but going from 20 down to 5 is a little excessive.
Yeah, it is.
But again, you know, if you have kids and a wife or, you know, nephews or somebody going fishing with you, and the limit's 5 apiece, well, now you have 15 sunfish. That's a meal. It really is. So being selective is probably the key. Case in point, I was up at Detroit Lakes area 2 weeks ago. And, you know, the one lake that I said that we had the fish out in the deep weeds, it was a struggle. And we ended up driving over to Detroit Lakes, and I felt like I was like a fish wizard again. It was like so easy. But the one lake we were on had a 5-fish bluegill limit, had a 5-fish crappie limit. And you would drop a bait if you were next to some weed and that broke the deep water, and it was so clear you could see, and you would have like 20 fish surround your bait. And the lake was like all the same size fish. I mean, it seemed like everything we were getting was between 8 to 8.5 inches. Hey, that's an awesome fish for the metro.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably a subpar fish for the Detroit Lakes area. But then we went to a different lake, like a half hour away, no special regs on bluegills, and we were catching them up to 9.5 inches. My friend's mom caught a 10.25-inch master angler, state of Minnesota fish, of course, released. And it's like, okay, well, this lake that has a 5-fish limit, we're struggling to get anything over 8.5 inches, but yet a lake that doesn't have a special regulation has fish up to 10.25, probably even bigger, I think. You know, it's too much. You know, we're messing with nature. Fish are resilient. They find ways to spawn in deeper water that, you know, that makes it tougher for us to find them. We just got to stop messing with it and just let it be. Just go fish and have fun.
Hey, Corey, you're a lot of fun to have on the show because we've had you on a number of times. You've been in the studio with us before because you just live and breathe this thing, and you share all kinds of ideas to everybody. Speaking of that, we really do appreciate that. What is the name of your little fishing segment that you have, and how do people find that?
Oh, the What's Working Now page.
What's Working Now?
It's a great resource. Great resource.
And my daughter's really kind of gotten excited because she sees how many people are, like, interacting with it and seeing the posts and everything. So she wants me to do more videos because I think if you get famous, you can actually make money at it or something.
It's not easy, buddy. It's not easy.
Yeah, tell exactly. You. Our dream, right?
All right, Corey, take care of yourself. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. And I'll tell you what, we keep listening to you, and you keep listening to us, and we appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
All right, take care of yourself, sir.
All right,
have a great night.
You bet. Mark got a couple of shout-outs, right?
Yeah, I have a bunch of shout-outs, and we can talk about that panfish limit, too. I mean, I got a lot to say about that, but let's get through some shout-outs here. Thank you, everyone, for writing in. Again, if you want to be named on air, just comment on our post on the 4 Outdoorsman, the number 4 Outdoorsman on Facebook. First picture is from Justin Zeiss. Looks like a picture of his daughter out enjoying Labor Day weekend. Craig Rudolph Jr. says 13 geese yesterday. Slow today. Great time with kids and family. That's right. It's early goose season started Saturday. Jason Skoog says from Reach for Resources says 19-inch walleye on Lake of the Woods on Monday. Let's see what else. Will Goble says checking in from the goose blind, doing a little evening hunting. Corey Bechtold, our recent guest, has a nice picture of a bluegill there. Caden Marshall says, me and John Marshall out chasing some slabs on BSL. Ron Nielsen says, feeding the deer today at Fonderosa. Kids love it. I used to drive by that place. By that place, too. Have you ever stopped there?
I drove by today on the way home from the cabin. It is jammed. It is literally jammed. I mean, every day you go by, it's filled up. Good for them.
So I guess you can feed. I should stop there. I drive by it every weekend. We go to the cabin. Vicky Prohl has a picture of a bear down. And Ron Nielsen has another picture of feeding a deer at Fonderosa. So thank you, everyone, for writing in.
I got a shout-out for you, pal.
Go ahead.
We got to give a shout-out to Pam McNeil. Pam was just on Pamela McNeil was just on the Homegrown Show with Brandon a little bit ago. And if you didn't get a chance to hear it, you've got to find it. And Brandon will tell you how in a couple of minutes how to find her show from tonight. She sings beautifully. And she's got a CD out called Solitary. Pam McNeil, boy, thanks for being on the Homegrown Show. And we can't wait to get you back in studio. Hey, Brandon, how do they listen to her?
MyBobCountry.com,
yep.
Under the Weekends tab. The Homegrown Show has a podcast library there. The show will be up Tuesday. Yeah. Usually up on Monday, but since tomorrow's Labor Day, I think I'll cut Travis a break. But, yeah, look for that on Tuesday. It'll be up.
I'm telling you, Pam.
She's awesome. Yeah,
yes, she is.
I mean, she toured with Rick Astley.
Yeah,
which
crazy.
Is pretty cool.
Yeah. And Rick Astley, people are saying, Rick Astley, you toured with Pam McNeil? My Lord.
Right.
Yeah, that's how it goes. No, she's on the way, pal. She's really, really good. And thanks again for being on the Homegrown Show. Mark.
Shout out to my nephew, Noah Cernaski, who turns 16 this week. So he's pretty excited about that, and I'm excited for him to get a little freedom, drive around, right?
Brandon, do I have about 3 minutes for a story?
Yeah, about two and a half.
Let's make it two and a half. Now, this is in the St. Paul Pioneer Press. I'm going to read this whole thing. It says here, without my glasses, so be prepared. The crazy busy outdoor summer and COVID has caused a lot of problems in Minnesota's wild as well. This time, a drunken, disorderly, and naked woman who was escorted out of the Boundary Waters a couple of weeks ago. It turns out that she was naked, had a few too many cocktails, and bothering a lot of people as they were floating down while that kind of thing. So they actually had to haul the DNR or the Game Board had to come in, pick her up, and haul her back to the boat ramp or something like that because she was disorderly. And what it does, it finishes here. It says, the Forest Service has not released any information whether or not the woman was forced to get dressed prior to the return boat ride.
Bear season is open.
Bear season is open. Boy, I tell you what. Yeah, COVID. That's COVID, right? COVID caused all that kind of stuff.
I'll take it.
Boy,
yeah,
it's rare enough to see a lady up in that area, to see a naked lady up in there. Man, yeah. that would make a trip. That's for sure.
That's fun. Hey, we've got a couple of good guests tonight. We got, who's your buddy?
We have Sam, our co-host, of course.
He'll
is our first guest.
Right?
He's going to be on at 6:20. Then Brian Zepp, the original lineup of the Four Outdoorsmen, is going to be on at 6:40. We couldn't have this show today if it wasn't for him.
Yeah, we were the angler and hunter back then. And Brian Zepp was the man who, along with you, got this whole thing going, and it's been 7 years now, and Brian's in Bozeman, Montana. But the reason we're having Brian Zepp on is because he just went on a solo backpack elk hunt in the Bozeman Mountains, I'm guessing someplace around there, and I have no idea if he succeeded or not, but we're going to talk to Brian. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Be right back in the Four Outdoorsmen. Join us, everybody.
Now would be the time to check on the jerky. These smokers aren't going to tend themselves. You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Outdoors.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsmen like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
Devil's Lake Tourism invites you to the wonderful world of the outdoors. Not only is there jumbo perch, there's fantastic walleye fishing with no slot limit and 10 in possession, and there's more. Plenty of hiking trails, world-class hunting, great eateries, hotels, even a nearby casino. There is literally something for everyone who loves the outdoors. You need to find out why Devil's Lake has been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in the United States. Bring your fishing rod, bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Mark here, host of the Four Outdoorsmen for my friends at Power Lodge. Located right down the street from our studio on Highway 10 in Ramsey. Adventure is calling. Hit the open road on a brand new Can-Am Spyder or Ryker. These machines are tons of fun. For a limited time, get a rebate of up to $1,000 plus financing from 2.99 for 60 months on select 2020 Can-Am on-road bottles at Power Lodge in Ramsey. Visit Power Lodge on Highway 10, call 763-576-1706 or shop 24/7 at powerlodge.com.
Come out and enjoy some sun, fair food, and fun at the first annual Mauer Pronto Pups and Pickup Trucks Cheese Curds and Car Sales event at the Anoka County Fairgrounds, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. There will be hand washing and sanitizing stations, and you can even get your vehicle sanitized for free. This is the biggest event that Mauer Auto Group has ever had. Mauer is bringing all of their new and pre-owned inventory out for the occasion and offering deep discounts, fair food, and great deals Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Anoka County Fairgrounds.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
All right, we are back. Stu Man, Lukey, Brandon, Sam. Is Sam there?
I am here.
Sam Oftedal is here. Sam Oftedal is the fourth outdoorsman, but Sam Oftedal is someplace else. Where are you right now, buddy?
Just north of Mora, about 15 minutes to my property.
I like that he answered the phone, bear camp.
And then he sent a selfie, a picture of him naked, right? Yeah. The bear.
A shout out to my dad.
Yeah, shout out to your dad. Welcome to the bear camp. That would be funny, just you know, you with your chest or something like that. That would really be funny, and send it to dad. That'd be funny.
Yeah, I should do that.
That's an inside story, you guys. But
you know that there's a popular selfie that the girls do, the over the shoulder while you're laying down. Like, you should do one of those. Like,
oh,
lay
yeah.
on your stomach, do a selfie over your shoulder.
I'll give it her a shot.
do your best.
Well, tell us what's happening up near Mora. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, we were going to do sponsors.
Oh, yeah, sponsors, quick. Yeah.
We thought we'd get you on to do sponsors, and so you can talk about McKay's Dodge.
All right, I'll lead the way then, boys.
Go for it.
So McKay's Dodge, Chrysler Jeep up in Wake Park, great family, grand company. Travis Benoit, one of the owners, is like none other. You can get in there, get out within, 10, 15 minutes, and good sales guys, service, whatever you need. McKay's Dodge in Wake Park.
We love McKay's.
Nailed it.
We did, yeah.
Well, I'll talk about Power Lodge right down the road in Ramsey, Minnesota. Power Lodge is where I'm going to store my boat once it gets cold. And they're great. Right now they have a great deal on pontoons, so get a deal before the season's up. They'll probably store it for you. Just buy one. Also, lots of cool Can-Am, those three-wheel motorcycle things. They're called Striders. They're awesome. Check them out and go to powerlodge.com.
Speaking of Power Lodge and pontoons, and I'll get to it. Well, I'll tell you about Devil's Lake Tourism first, then we'll talk about what I was going to tell you about. But Devil's Lake Tourism is our premier sponsor, has been for many, many years. If you guys have never been to Devil's Lake, you've got to give it a shot. It's so much to do out there, and the fishing is so good, and the people are so nice. 170,000 acres of water. You're going to find a fish. Devil's Lake Tourism, and thanks to Susie and the gang up there. He had talked about pontoons. What's that? Uh-oh. Hang up. Talking about pontoons, we'll get to Sam. Sam's kind of hanging out there. But my buddy Jim Hoig, who owns Zero Res, texted me yesterday and said, listen, if you're thinking about upgrading your pontoon boat, I'm going to sell mine. He's at a lake not too far away from our cabin. I'm going to sell mine and get something maybe a little bit different. And I thought, I'll give it to you for a fair price. And so I was on his pontoon boat. You could live on his pontoon boat. He's got a 200 horsepower on his pontoon boat.
That's too much for Stru.
Yeah, well, the Chautauqua Channel Lakes. I mean, what would I do with that? Anyway, so I said, well, what are you asking? That and the boat lift is only $41,000.
Yeah, that's not for you, buddy.
I'm too cheap. You know, give me a rowboat and a good-looking lady.
You just said you let your wife cut your hair because you want to save $15.
I did, absolutely.
You're not buying a $40,000 pontoon.
No, that she knows that, that's for sure. But, yeah, and it's a beautiful boat. So if he's going to – this has got to be 6, 7, 8 years old anyway.
Oh, yeah.
That had to be $75,000 then if it was 7 years ago.
All that, for sure.
Oh, it's a beautiful machine. But I just couldn't do that. Let's go to our guest.
Yeah, maybe we should talk to you, Sam, since you are actually on the phone with us. But so, bear season, when did it start? What have you been doing? Tell us about your adventure so far, and we'll fire off some questions as we go along.
Well, I got to start this off by thanking my beautiful wife. I have been gone all week, and she's been taking care of the kids and coming home, making dinners and making lunches. She's been amazing as always. So I just wanted to thank Kirsten very much for allowing me to, you know, follow my passion and do what I love. But yeah, so.
Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of that, Mark and I talked about it before, earlier in the show, before you got on. I says, you know what? I think Sam built himself a monster because now you've been so generous offering other people an opportunity to hunt, and you got to take care of this stuff every day. And it's like, oh, I think I built myself a monster. You're in 100% right now.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, boys. I've been busting my butt for the last 6 days. But yeah, I started season opened up on Tuesday the 1st. I started baiting 2 weeks ago tomorrow. So almost 2 weeks ago, I had bear hit every night. So I was refreshing bait every 2-3 days. And then I baited Sunday. And then Monday, I had my Jerry and Kay Michalek coming in. I called them on Saturday, actually. And I was like, you know, it's going to be a little bit warmer this week. I've had decent bear nothing during shooting hours. Maybe let's push it back a couple days. And they're like, yeah, no problem. I hung up the phone. 5 minutes later, I called him back. I said, can you guys leave tomorrow? My gut switched. I got to go with the hunter inside me. I think you guys need to get here. And they're like, sounds good. So they left Sunday, and I knew they were going to get here he texted me Sunday night saying, we'll be there by noon tomorrow, which would have been Monday.
Where are they from?
Louisiana.
Okay.
So Jerry and Kay Michalek are the most two decorated shooters, most decorated female, most decorated male shooter in the industry. I mean, he's sponsored by Smith & Wesson, Mossberg. These guys they're big shots.
Wow.
So the pressure was on for me. I was talking to Mark. I think I might have mentioned this to you, sure, that I felt nothing but pressure with these guys coming up because driving up from Louisiana, you know, paying $230 each for a tag plus hotel, it's like, okay, you know, I gotta do this. So I knew they were coming in at noon on Monday. And he told me that Sunday night. So I had to move deer stands to get on these baits. So I went out. I left my house a little bit before 5 on Monday in the morning and got up to my property. I literally, not even joking, opened up my door, starts downpouring.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, I got to get it done. So threw on my Blackfish jacket and moved the stands, which is not easy to do by yourself. These are 22-foot ladder stands. I moved them. I rebaited, put my four-wheeler away, jumped back in my truck, stopped raining. So that was great. So I drove home, showered, went and picked them up, brought them to get their license, got them lunch, brought them over, entertained them, got them dinner, put them back to their hotel. And when we left at 6 a.m. Tuesday morning, and we hunted all morning real hard, nothing. And then I just had a good feeling about the afternoon, and I said, let's get back in to the stands about 12:30, 1 o'clock. We went and grabbed some lunch. Got back into the stands, and I told Kay, I said, dude, I've had this bear, this random bear, every few days kind of hit this certain bait. And by the grace of God, I said prayers the entire time they were here. That bear walked out, and I was literally just getting back into my truck after getting in the stands, and I was doing some work stuff while I could. I was working from my mobile office of my truck. And,
yeah, yeah.
And she's shooting, so Kay is 63 years old. She is shooting a 10.5-inch revolver in the caliber of a 460.
Wow.
460.
A 460. It's a 300, and it was like a 350-grain bullet. It's huge. It's a hand cannon. And I get back in my truck, I shut my door, I'm on a conference call, and all of a sudden I hear kaboom. And, I mean, it shook my truck. And she texted me with a little bear emoji with a thumbs up. So I was pretty tickled pink, and then I went up to her, and she's just, her adrenaline's through the roof. So keep in mind, these guys have been in the industry for over 35 years. and they shared something with me afterwards that 35 years, they're the most, like, famous people at SHOT Show, famous people in the industry, and they've been invited to go on hunts twice.
Wow.
One was Smith & Wesson 18 years ago, and the other one was me. I asked them about a month ago, and that made me feel, I was like, first of all, people are idiots for not asking you to go hunt because they're great people. But right. When I walked up on her, she was, her adrenaline was through the roof. Never shot a bear, never seen a bear in the wild. And she hunted for 6 hours in Minnesota and got her first game, which is not an easy task because, for example, there was like 23,000 bear licenses sold last year and less than 1,600 bears shot. So it's not like an easy task. It's not like deer hunting where, you know, one of every two hunters gets one. So she was pretty fired up. And then poor Jerry, I made him, I hunted him hard for the next 3 days. We were in the stand by 9, 10 o'clock. Sometimes we got out here 11, and I made him stay until 8:30 at night until, you know, 10 minutes after legal shooting hours, he came back. I hunted him hard. He didn't get one, but he was pretty happy that his wife got one. So the first day I had a lot of, I told Mark, I said, I had a huge pressure relief after she shot one, but it was great hanging out with them. I'm glad they got a bear. And then I had another industry guy come in Friday morning. So then I had to come back out here Friday. We hunted all day Friday, all day yesterday, all day today, and then he's going to leave tomorrow. So I can breathe a little bit tomorrow.
Sam, do they seem affected by foot traffic? I mean, you have to do a lot of running around and baiting and stuff. Does that really not bother? Do they just hold tight until they're ready to go to the bait area or what?
So they're very, very, very intelligent animals. Eyesight's mediocre. Ears, you know, hearing's mediocre. Their nose is like none other. They have a nose, like, they can tell time with nose. You and I drive down a road, we smell a skunk. They walk down the road, they smell a skunk that was killed 2 days ago, and some kid threw his cheeseburger out in the ditch, too. So they're so smart. So what I do is you get them on a routine where I'll drive my four-wheeler back, I'll leave my four-wheeler running, I'll bait, I'll do my thing, I'll spray the whole area down, and then I take a stick and I hit the barrel. It's almost like a dinner bell. And then I will leave my four-wheeler, and usually within the next few hours, they'll show up. Now, this week has been kicking my butt because we had 40-mile-per-hour winds up here where Jerry sent me a video from his stand. He was moving 20 inches each way with the wind with that tree, and he was in an oak tree. It was howling, which does two things. They're not going to move when it's windy, and then it knocks all the acorns out of the tree. Bear are big boys that are hairy, and girls, I should say, that don't want to move. And if they don't have to move, if they can sit around an oak tree and eat all those acorns, they will. So acorns, a little bit of rain, the wind, and the full moon have made for a very tough week of opener. I've been seeing a lot of stuff, a lot of guys, you know, their baits have just been dead since Tuesday or Wednesday. But it's common, you know, I think with the Labor Day weekend too, there's a lot of pressure in the woods right now. But the heat today is warm. You can feel the pressure switching right now. I'm actually standing by my truck. But yeah, it's warm. The acorns are down, so they're gonna feed out those natural food until, you know, it'll pick back up here in another week or two. So
the bear that Kay got, was this one that you have seen on your trail camera?
Yeah. Yep.
And have you seen other bears on the trail cameras since then?
Oh yeah, I've had about 7 different bear on camera.
Really?
Oh, since then I've had Since then I've had 2 bear hit my cameras or hit my baits. But before then, yeah, I had about 7 different bear. But like I said, the full moon, the rain, the wind—they've been kind of lazy. You know, they know with this warm weather, they still got a few, you know, a month before it gets real cold. So they'll want to fatten up here pretty quick. So it's a game of patience. They're very smart. You know, their nose is the very, very, very good. So that's what you're fighting. So but I love it. There's nothing like seeing I still get a little bit of adrenaline when I see deer in the field, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when I shoot a big deer. There's nothing like seeing a black bear walk out of the woods. Nothing like
that. You know,
it.
I know you, I, I hear you say that, and I've heard other people say the same thing. And Mark, I'll get to you right real quickly here. But me personally, I just can't picture that. I just can't picture getting excited to watch to see a bear walking toward. I'm looking forward to being with you when you go out in the next week or two, whenever you come back from Florida, whatever it's going to be, because I want to experience, and I hope I can.
Oh yeah.
But because I've shot a lot of deer, and I still, my heart pumps every time I see a deer and have to be patient and watch it go this way and that way. I just don't picture it with a bear, but I'm guessing I'm going to be wrong. I'm guessing
you're going to be wrong. You're going to be on my back, holding on tight, shaking when we're walking through the wood tracking a bear that we shot.
All right, Mark, you had a question?
Yeah, Sam, how long does bear season go? That's question number one. Question number two is, do you have any other animals steal bait, like raccoons or anything? Do you have any problems with that, or they leave it alone?
So, first question, October 18th.
Okay, so that's a pretty long season then.
It is good. So, like this, so in the rule of thumb is your first week is a great week, mm-hmm. you know, because you got your baits out for a couple weeks prior. That's a great week. They'll go dead. Last couple of years, I've had them go dead for 2.5-3 weeks, and all of a sudden, like, October 1st hits, and then, boom, they are just active those last 2 weeks, because that usually by October, we're getting some steady, cool weather.
Yeah.
So that's when they'll hit. You know, like I said, they need to fatten up for these winters, and that's when they'll get more active during the day. And you feed them a little bit less then, because then they're fighting for it. They know there's only a certain amount of bait in there, so they have to get there before the other bears. So it's like you want to make them proactive. Your second question, raccoons are a big nuisance for sure. Every bait I've ever put out, I get raccoons, but I put big logs in the barrels. I'm on private land, so I can use barrels. And I cut a hole in them and, you know, put the bait in, and I shove like a, you know, 8-foot-long, 10-inch diameter log that a bear could take out like no problem, but a mm-hmm. raccoon can't. But these little SOB raccoons can, they send their little ones. I mean, there's like a hole the size of a dollar, and they'll send their little ones, and I can see them just like shoveling all my trail mix out.
That's it's like, funny. You know,
I have that. Raccoons are a big one. Crows can be kind of crazy, but I don't mind if there's still bait left in there, if a raccoon gets in there, because what I do is I take butterscotch concentrate and I pour it into used frying oil, like a 5-gallon bucket of, I stop at this chicken place and I fill my bucket full of all his old oil that he fried chicken and french fries with, and I pour this butterscotch in,
yum,
mix it up, and I pour it all the way around my bait, like on the ground, so uh-huh. when it gets into their paws, they'll take that track with them, and that bear will catch that butterscotch smell and follow that right into my bait.
See, I learned something. You learn more on this show by accident yeah. than anywhere else by design. That's Joe Souchere's thing from years ago, but that's interesting.
It takes there's a lot of thinking.
There's more to this than what I anticipated, so I'm proud
yeah,
of you, man.
People think, too, that like putting a bait station out and watching a bear come in and shoot it is the easiest thing. I would encourage that person to go find somewhere where they can bear hunt and truly put 100% into it, because they will realize it is hard.
Yeah. Yeah, tell you what.
And like I said, less than 10% get a bear. So
we're going to wrap this up, Sam, but I have to compliment you, because you mentioned that these guys, Jerry and Kay, are the really, really big shots in your industry, and only two people have ever asked them if they wanted to come hunting with them, and you thought, my Lord. You know, and it's like, You'll never get the prize unless you ask, right? If you don't ask,
yeah.
and all they can say is no. So be proud of yourself for asking the question. And you're talking about all the time you're spending away from your family and kids. You are going to benefit. You're going to reap benefits by these people in the industry. They know you from the industry. I think the other gentleman was from Shields, I think it was here. And you're going to generate business just by being a nice person and making these contacts. This is you're not stupid by any means.
Well, I like to play checkers, not I like to play chess, not checkers.
Yeah. can you teach me?
Like I said, Kay Michalak is going to call in back next week. She's going to call in and tell her side of the story, so it'll be kind of cool to have her, and we can talk a little bit about her history and about her Minnesota bear hunt.
I'm going to ask you the same question you ask me every time I talk about a woman. Is she hot?
She's a very beautiful lady.
There you go. Hey, Sam Oftedal, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. We'll see you back in studio next week. And listen to the rest of the show on the way home, if you would, huh? Be careful getting back.
All right, see you guys. Thanks, boys.
Yeah, congratulations. What a thrill, huh?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, I think we got Brian Zepp coming in about 5 minutes. I'm going to text him right now. Hopefully he's around. Brian Zepp's going to talk about his elk hunt in Bozeman, Montana, I believe. Take care. You want to be socially distant? Well, Devil's Lake has nearly 170,000 acres. It's been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in all of the United States, and for good reasons. Yep, the fishing itself is Devil's Lake's biggest lure. You get that? But what also keeps bringing vacationers back are the friendly people, the service, the hotels, the restaurants, the outdoor opportunities, the city itself. Hey, trust Struman on this one. Bring your fishing rod. Bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Tis the season of camping, boating, and fishing, and you don't want to be left out because your trailer's broken. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove can fix it and get you back to the outdoors. Crystal Welding offers a wide variety of services, including welding, maintenance, and repairs for all types of trailers. Crystal Welding is your one-stop shop for all of your trailer needs. Go to crystalwelding.com for more information. Crystal Welding. Solutions. Service. Results.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to smoke.
Looking for a great way to escape with the family? There's plenty of time this year to get out on the water. Mark here with the Four Outdoorsmen. Power Lodge has pontoons in stock for every boating passion now with immediate delivery. Now's the time to benefit with huge discounts on Ranger, Low, and Godfrey pontoons. Low APR financing makes now the best time to buy. Power Lodge is right down the street from our studio on Highway 10 in Ramsey, Minnesota. Go visit my friends at Power Lodge. Call 763-576-1706 or shop 24/7 at powerlodge.com.
Mauer Auto Group is throwing the Pronto Pups and Pickup Trucks Cheese Curds and Car Sales event Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Anoka County Fairgrounds. Mauer is bringing all of their new and pre-owned inventory out for the occasion and are offering deep discounts. All appropriate safety precautions will be taken, and they'll have hand washing and sanitizing stations. You can even get your vehicle sanitized for free. Come out and enjoy fair food and great deals at the first annual Mauer Pronto Pups and Pickup Trucks Cheese Curds and Car Sales event Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Anoka County Fairgrounds.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, outdoorsmen, this is Simone Shera, and I want to invite you to join me at the 2020 Cackle and Spur Charity Pheasant Hunt. This hunt will help reach for resources to support individuals with disabilities and mental illness. Join me Wednesday, September 30th at Sandpine Pheasants and Gold Meadows Hunting Preserve just north of St. Cloud. Each hunter gets 5 birds released, a guide with 2 dogs, catered lunch, and an entry to win a gun. Plus, Federal Ammunition is giving each hunter a box of shells. Text CACKLE at 76278 or go to reachforresources.org for more information.
Total Country Bob FM.
And welcome back. Strewman here. Mark Lukey, Brennan Bax from behind the glass. And I tell you what, we have a special guest tonight, an old friend of ours, Brian Zepp. Welcome to Angler and Hunter.
True, man. I love that music. Hearing the music come back in. Boy, that brings back a lot of memories.
Yeah, it does.
How you crazy kids doing?
Hey, I tell you, we could talk forever, of course. We love you, we miss you, and you're funny, and we're funny and all that. But remember when Joe Giuliano tried to play the trick on you? He says, well, how come you guys are playing my music? God, that was so funny.
Yeah, you guys busted me. I thought I had it on good authority from Strewman that we had some sort of permission.
and then
we were busted for sure. And there goes my career.
Yeah, that's our bumper music. It's from Joe Giuliano, and I met him years ago, and Brian and I got together when we first did this 7 years ago, and I gave him Joe Giuliano's CD, and he said, this one sounds good. And about 2 years later, Joe Giuliano says, You still playing my music? How about Feed Me a Bone? He said, but we never still.
If
we had any bones.
Hey, exactly. We all wanted a bone.
How are things in Bozeman, Montana? You happy there? It's been a couple of years now.
I'm having a blast. It's been a few years now in Bozeman. I think I just celebrated my 3rd anniversary. Or no, I haven't come up here in September in a couple of weeks. And right during the peak run, as a matter of fact. And no, I love it out here. It's paradise. You know, we're having a tough go of it this weekend. The Bridger Mountain Range, which Really almost as downtown Bozeman. You could walk to your first hike to what we call the M here for the MSU students up on Bridger Bowl. Is less than a mile from downtown. And it's on fire. I heard 7,000 acres. They're reporting 11,000, but the sheriff came on. I'm sitting actually here not far from my hunting spot that is completely socked in with smoke. It's been burning for 3 days now. And a lot of houses have gone down and a lot of outpouring. I came into town today. Marie and I ran water and protein bars over for the effort for our, about 170 firefighters, four of which have been hospitalized. Fighting it right now, but it's an incredible blaze, and it's what happens out west here. Of course, California gets a lot of press, and deservedly so. They have some crazy wildfires over there. We have about 70 burning in Montana right now, and this is, you know, somewhere in the 23rd biggest. So it's the resources are stretched thin. These crazy SOBs that fight these things go in smoke jumpers. They paraglide into these fires to get between the fire and the homes and just start with chainsaws on their back and shovels and start fighting it on the ground. And it's amazing to watch, awesome in a, you know, in a very humbling way to watch these men and women work.
But, did you,
a lot of that's been going on, and I think I'm probably not going to go back out tonight because I'm just sucking in smoke. And I think it's driven, especially the bulls, back even further up than my old legs and old lungs can get me tonight.
Hey, you sent me a video of the smoke billowing from the mountains over there. Would you give us permission to post that? Because I'd never seen anything like that. And this looks like you're about three blocks away from that. That's scary stuff. There was a movie that, number one, I don't care if you give me permission, we're going to do it. But anyway, the, there's a movie that I saw, and you're familiar with the movie, don't know the name of it, where these 12 firefighters perished in the fire when the winds just changed and they went into their bags and it still didn't work. It's an amazing story. I forget the name of it, but it's a true story. And I think it was in Idaho, but I just can't picture that.
And I think, didn't we interview someone who had written a book on it on the Four Outdoorsmen some years ago?
We did. Yeah, we did.
And that brought it to my attention, and I ended up watching the movie too. And I can picture the star in the movie, but, it's an incredibly dangerous job. They lose wildfire firefighters every year, and you just can't imagine when you watch something like this just a few miles away.
Yeah,
how it rages. It's you don't want to be anywhere near it, and how fast these things. Yesterday, we hit 97 degrees, and we had a strong southwest wind. It couldn't have been worse weather conditions for a fire that started on the trail up there, so there'll be an investigation, and there's a suspicion that it was man-made because it's probably the most popular trail in town. I mean, it's good luck trying to find a parking spot there on any given morning. And now with college back in session, there's speculation it's so used that it was man-made. Someone may have been smoking up there or something like that.
Yeah.
And now half of a ridge is gone, but they're digging in at Bridger Bowl Ski Area because there's a break in the canopy there, and they think they may be able to make a stand there. And, of course, tomorrow, winds out of the north, high temperature 52 degrees, and rain likely. So might not be a bad day to hunt either.
All right. Hey, we're talking with Brian Zipp, of course. Brian Zipp now is in Bozeman, Montana. He's a big shot with the Eagle, 104.7 in Bozeman, and having a good time out there. And, of course, anybody from the Twin Cities remembers him, and he's still part of the KQRS team in the morning show for many, many years. And it's fun to have him. But the reason we're calling you, pal, is because you did this little solo backpacking elk deal. Tell us how it went. What's going on?
Well, still in the middle of it, actually. It's just it's weird because we've got all this smoke up here. But archery for elk and deer started here on Saturday in Montana, which is a little early. So peak rut works a little differently with deer out here as well. We get our peak rut with whitetail, of which we have a lot. A lot of people think of the West. They think mule deer, of which there is an abundance.
But
in the valley areas, we have a great population of whitetail. And the ranch that we're adjacent to, there's a couple of them, but I have permission to hunt the Fluke Ranch. They have a great population of whitetail, and we have had the cameras out and been watching some real big, mature five-year-old bucks move through that area. So
wow.
I'm excited. But they're not really in rut. until November here in the Northwest. So it just makes, you know, that's going to be, you know, a rut in the snow and that late in the year is kind of odd. But that's how you tend to hunt them out there. Out here, you just don't you can't really get close to the elk in a deer stand or a ground blind situation. The whitetail, until a little bit later in the year. Having said that, it's still, we haven't even really entered the pre-rut here for elk. And when you're doing that in archery, you know, it's all about the rut. You got to get those bulls just thinking as stupid as they can possibly think to screw up and make enough mistakes that a hunyuck like myself might get somewhere between 20 and 40 yards in distance to one of these fellas and be able to take a shot at bringing him down. So we're not there yet. So this is really a lot more getting out there and getting your routine done, you know, just understanding how the cows are moving around, because I'm set up in four different spots very close to a herd of about 35 cows, all with calves. They calve out in June, so they're, you know, still raising that calf. The bull will come in here. Elk tend to be very particular creatures of habit. Their peak rut is during the autumnal equinox, which is September 22nd this year. The young guys, you know, as is most often the case just with us humans, will come in first, you know, and be kind of bold and moving around the cows. So they'll come down maybe here in the next couple of weeks and start sniffing around. The patient hunter will let some of those raghorns and those young bulls come and make their noise and do their thing and stay quiet and sit on top of this herd of cows. And the big boys, the dominant bull, will come in, run all those hunyucks out of town, and keep the herd for himself for only about a 3 to 4 day period. That's it. He'll come in. He's the man. He knows what he's doing. He does his business, and he gets out of town because they're very vulnerable during the rut, and they know this. So they don't spend a lot of time with the herd. They come in, they hit it fast, you know.
Just like spring break.
Yeah.
Very much like spring break. And then the big boys head right back up to the top of the mountain where they're almost impossible to find after that. So that's kind of what I'm facing. And after a couple of seasons of rifle season out here and not having any luck because, you know, they only have about a 12 to 14% harvest rate of elk in the state of Montana, and that's in-state and out-of-state. You have an elk tag in the state of Montana, you have a 12 to 14% chance of scoring an elk of any kind. It's less than a 2% chance that you're going to get a 6x6.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's an undertaking, to say the least. It's not like going out and climbing in the old deer stand and here comes the 3 to 5 year old whitetail buck that you get every year.
Yeah, I tell you what, you describing the pattern of the elk as they move in and out reminding me of you 20 years ago when you during the bar scenes, you know? About 11 o'clock, the man pulls into the pub and all the little guys, yeah, that's a funny.
Yeah, now I get run off.
Hey, now listen.
The bulls run me. I don't even come down on the mountains anymore. Okay, have a good time. Let me know how it was when you get back.
Yeah, yeah. You have your people call my people. Hey, I didn't even know that you shot a bull, and I maybe it's just started that game. And are you bugling too? Do you know how to bugle?
Yeah, so that's the thing. The rut. This year is my first year of bugling. Maria would say that I definitely do not know how to bugle. She would probably be right.
And she's got to listen to it every day, right?
Oh, it's an outdoor activity, outdoors. So I actually drive miles from the house. Partially because this herd of cows that I'm lucky enough to hunt is not too many miles from the ranch. So the last thing I want to do is be out there bothering them. But it has a lot to be desired. I think I have the cow call down pretty well, but my bugle sounds pretty sick. I don't know if it's going to sound threatening enough to a dominant bull to want to come over and kick my ass and give me that shot that that I so desperately want. But, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. And you hunt much better with two. As you know, with archery hunting, if you've got someone that can call them in and you can be at an ambush point, that would be great. I'm doing this by myself. There's a lot of hiking involved and a lot of, you know, sweating and then sitting involved. But, you know, there was a fella here from Minnesota that got out here 3 years ago, never hunted elk before in his life, grabbed his bow because he heard the rut was the best time to hunt. He went up on top of Bear Mountain, sat down, did a bunch of calls, and got a 6x6 elk on opening day. So he's my inspiration. that even occasionally the blind squirrel can find a nut. So, you know, for me, it's just about experiencing the mountains, being out there with these amazing creatures. If I can get one to talk to me, you know, back and forth, then that'll be mission accomplished this year. Of course, it would be pretty amazing if I could get a bull within plucking range. And then towards the end of the season, if I can get near a cow, then I'll harvest a cow. And if that doesn't work, then we pick up the rifle and we hike back out and try it all over again.
Well, that sounds awesome. Brian, it's Mark here.
Mark, of course, ran out.
Thank you so much for calling in. And that sounds so awesome. I really hope I get the chance to do that someday. But thank you for telling us that story, man. That's awesome.
My pleasure. And you've got a place to stay. Get your butt out here. We'll get you up and down the mountain and have some fun. And then fish for some trout for dinner.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to fish for trout on the Bighorn 2 years ago. Man, Montana is just absolutely beautiful. I'm sure that's a couple hours away from where you are, but that's a dream, man. You're living a dream right now. I hope you appreciate it.
I'm trying to appreciate it each and every day and do as much as I can while the old bones allow me.
Well, I'll tell you what, you haven't seen Mark in a few years, but there's not a chance in hell he's going to be walking up and down those mountains with you. It is not
that's
going to happen.
That's too bad. I need somebody to carry my elk down.
Hey, will you do us a favor now? Keep us posted during the next couple of weeks and all that, because you're going to get one, and you're going to keep on doing this. And I want to hear the story. I want to hear some success next time you call in, because it's have you ever shot an elk?
No, I've never shot an elk. That's the big dream. That's the great North American trophy that I so badly want. And I'll get one here sooner or later. I just keep plugging away, and I get more serious about it, and I think I make fewer mistakes each time I go out. There appears to be a learning process. But here in a couple of weekends, it's going to get real interesting. That'll be the weekend before the peak rut, and they'll be calling. It should be an exciting time to be out there, and I'll definitely call in and let you guys know what's going on.
But I tell you what, it's going to be fun. And elk meat, I've had elk meat a couple of times. Oh. I think it is as good as anything you're ever going to eat. I really do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's coveted out here. It's gold. You put an elk in the freezer and you have something to barter with all year long that's better than money.
You know, if your dad was going to help you make some decisions and kind of give you some tips on how to get an elk, he'd give you one of those tumbleweeds to hide behind and sneak up on him.
The other thing he told me to do last year when I went out rifle hunting, he said, well, get rid of all that orange. I said, well, Dad, it's a law. You know, you have to wear the orange. He said, well, not when you get up there. I said, yeah, I think when you get up there. So I'm not sure all Dad's tips are.
Hey, listen, buddy, we'll let you go.
7 for 7 elk hunting, so he does know what he's talking about. He's giving me lots of tips.
Oh, that's fun. Hey, take care of yourself. Be safe. Go get yourself an elk. And I'll tell you what, we're praying for the town of Bozeman. It's pretty scary stuff, and run for the hills, pal. Run for the hills. Take care of yourself, and thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman, friend.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate
See you, Brian.
It. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, by the way, Terry Train was trying to call in, and we can't do two phone numbers at the same time right now, so Terry Train said, say hi to Brian. I love him dearly, okay?
We've been texting back and forth. I'll talk to her soon.
Take care, buddy.
All right, bye, guys.
Yeah, bye-bye. Boy, what a fun guy, man.
Feels good to hear his voice again. It's like comfy, right?
Yeah. Do you think he looks any older?
I don't know. He's one of those guys that he's been the same age for about 20 years.
Yeah. No, he's those of you who don't know that the 4 Outdoorsmen, we have 3 Outdoorsmen right now. And Brandon, of course, we have him as our honorary 4th. But Brian Zepp started this thing with Cumulus Broadcasting 7 years ago with Mark. Mark actually started it, and Brian was the man. And Brian interviewed me and got me on. And so without Brian, we would not have this show.
For
and number
sure.
two... And at that time, there were 4 outdoors, but we only have 3 right now, but that's about it. But what do you got, Mark? What are you going to say?
Well, I was going to interject, but it's the music here, so I'm going to say,
get
outside and make some memories.